Regular meeting, December 3rd. Call to order, everyone's present, full city council.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we get a motion to approve the agenda and additional items to the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We were going to have a deletion to the agenda also, so we are adding F, resolution granting exempt gambling, deleting item 5B, and then adding 7E, special meeting request.
I'll make a motion that we approve the, amended agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, the consent agenda. Can we get a motion to approve that?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, for our public hearing, A, the street vacation alley of Everett's Tatanka Lake Edition, Block 8, lots 1 through 10. Teresa?
So the petition was accepted by the council and then moved forward to the public hearing. This would be the opportunity for the public to weigh in on whether or not the alley should be vacated. If it is vacated, it's still, all utilities still have the right to maintain whatever's in there.
Okay, so would anybody like to address the council on this issue? All right, should we vote? Do we make a motion to, this is complete?
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we vacate those streets, Everett's Tatanka Lake Edition, Block 8, lots 1 through 10, the alley.
Do we need to, sorry.
So that is actually resolution 2024-R-049.
So let's do that. I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 2024-R-049.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That'll have to be recorded with the county. Teresa, you'll take care of that?
Or you will.
Be happy to.
I think it rolled downhill.
All right, C, the budget and levy. Does anyone have any public input on the budget and the levy?
Would you like me to go down a quick recap first? Or?
Sure.
Okay. So as our levy sits right now, it shows a 10.5% levy increase. The average throughout the state is an 8.8% levy increase. If individuals received their statements and it showed more than the 10.5, odds are you had a valuation adjustment, and those valuation adjustments are usually heard in April. One other thing to note is that our LGA, which is one of the main sources of revenue, that comes into the city to fund our expenditures, only went up $442 this year. So in the budget itself, we are still talking about the construction of a new fire hall. In there is included a payment of $118,125 estimated interest payment. As you can tell, the 10.5% levy increase is $118,108. So that pretty much covers, the levy increase covers the new fire hall payment. If the fire hall does not go and move forward, then that money will be looked at going back to the capital projects that the city did not do due to that increase. There was also some discussion about adding a new water and wastewater operator that will have licenses. I have done no changes with that in order to prepare for a changeover. So that's still included in the budget. We also looked at the difference between hiring a full-time officer in lieu of part-time. So as you guys recall in the budget meeting, we talked about this, and there would be a savings of about $9,000 in the way that the budget is presented. There still is 120 hours included for part-time hours. So if that gives you a little rundown of how that equates. Those are some of the main topics that kind of came into play. I know the council worked hard at, you know, weighing those capital expenses with the unknown of the fire department, whether or not that was going to move forward or not. So if it does continue, there will probably be another increase next year because this is only an interest payment, but we won't know that until we actually look at bonding the project if it moves forward. So not sure if you've had any other questions for me. I did also want to point out that when we talk about a 10% levy increase, 1% levy increase on the city's money, you only gain $11,248.41. So for every percent, it's not a large amount of money.
The hiring of the wastewater operator, that comes out of the water sewer budget, right?
Correct,
so that's
yes.
Figured into that.
Yeah, and most of that discussion, as you recall, was because in order to, you have to have somebody with all of the licensures in order to operate. And if we look at retirements, we need somebody to phase into that position. And for somebody to start out at this point would probably be about 6 years for them to be able to obtain those licensures.
Do we have applications out right now for one?
We have not. We will be doing that in January.
Okay.
6 years to get all the licenses, huh?
Approximately, yep, because you have to have so many years in each licensure.
Okay.
So, like, your D license you can take after, like, 6 months. And then your C license you can take after 2 years. And then, you know, as you move up, you have to have like 4 years in between the B and the C. So you have to have, I always say it's like time and grade in military service.
Sure, right.
So, and they've been talking about changing it, but I have seen nothing come down that relaxes that at all yet.
So this would be a good proactive move to do this.
Right, because if you don't have somebody who has the licensures, you're going to be contracting out for that service. So you're better off to get somebody, in my opinion, better off to get somebody in here who knows your system, is going to work with your system, and has an investment or, you know, really cares about the system rather than just hiring somebody to come in and say, you know, this is what you need to do, and, you know, really don't care because they don't have ownership of the plants.
Right.
And talking to some other people, 6 years is actually a fairly rapid to get it.
To get it, okay. So it could be more.
I talked to in Northfield, he said he thought he did it really quick, and he was 7.5.
Okay. And it depends on which plant.
Yes, the size, and
if you're an A plant, which Northfield probably is,
So with that increase of salary and stuff, will that instigate another rate increase?
We will be looking at that. So we dive further into that between January and March. We usually do our increases in March.
Okay.
And then we'll refocus back on the water and the sewer and how that's all going to flush out. We did do a rate study, and it did show that, you know, we need to do increases. But we'll be talking about that more in March.
Is it more towards the water side or the sewer or both?
It was both.
Okay.
Yeah. That whole study set up the whole program of what increases are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there was somebody fully licensed that applied and came here, they would still need an overlap time where they would have to be here for a long time to understand the system and get used to it.
Yeah, you need to understand the infrastructure. Yeah. So basically, that's kind of the highlights that I hit. If you had any other questions, you can certainly open up to questions.
Did we find out what the average rate was going to raise, taxes would raise?
I did not do that because they already had their statements.
Come out.
Correct, yeah.
Would anybody like to address the council on the budget?
I know that you had mentioned the $9,000 savings.
I'm sorry, could you stand up and give your name, please? And
I'm Sarah Edwards. I know that you had said $9,000 savings for the budget, and that's regarding the police, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the removal of the part-time officers?
No, there's
with
still
just 120 hours remaining?
Okay. Yeah, so and that's the difference between the budgeted hours and the change in the hours going one way or the other. And that also did include the benefit package.
Okay, so then what is the total increase with the new officer?
There's a savings with the new officer.
So we won't be spending any additional money?
It's not. So with the part-time, as it was $109,000. And then there's $9,000 savings with the new officer and the adjusted part-time hours.
Okay. And then I noticed that there was, I think it was civil service in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Is that relating to emergency management, or what exactly is civil service?
Civil defense.
Or civil defense.
Civil
yeah.
defense is another word for emergency management.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are we anticipating needing extra resources because of the flooding, or are we just preparing for other needs?
So there isn't much change in that emergency management budget. I could grab it, but I think it's like
about $200,000.
Yeah. It's a small change in there.
Okay. So we've always allotted a fair amount of money for training and other things for emergency management.
Yep.
I think that's all I have.
So all the, in reference to your flood stuff, that was previous. So we're still working through that process of regaining those monies.
Okay.
We are looking at doing some mitigation projects, but we won't know that unless they're awarded.
Sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anybody else? Phil?
Thank you, Phil. Phil Langrud, 503 Marion Street. Noticing in comparison of the other cities in our county, we're at 10.2 or something.
10.5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was I catching it correctly, Teresa, that much of that would be the proposed fire hall?
Correct.
Yeah.
You have that extra unknown out there. Yeah, there's
right.
like less than $100 difference between the interest payment and the increase in the levy.
Okay. So of that 10.5%, what percentage would then be the fire hall portion, the new fire hall portion?
About 10.5%.
Oh, okay.
That's
almost
what I was
seven,
saying.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
basically, roughly.
Well,
all.
It was a little sure. less because the fire hall, and this was just to do the interest payment at this time. And
sure.
we had that figured at 118,125, and the levy went up 118,108. So spending was one of those things that the council really concentrated on trying to, you know, get that down as low as they could. But you don't want to go into a following year with a huge astronomical one either if it does go on.
One last question. Are we, are we receiving any FEMA money to offset some of our 2024 expenses? Is that, I mean, I realize that we're talking a 2025 budget here, but, you know, we're going to have ongoing flood-related expenses into 25 and beyond, probably for years maybe, but, so go ahead.
Yep, so as far as the event goes, there's a process we work through in which we submit our expenses to FEMA, and then they decide what they want to reimburse and what they don't. So we're working through that process.
Good.
There's never, they will never make you 100% whole. So they'll go through and decide what they're gonna reimburse for and how. So there will be some shortage on that for sure. And then going forward, as we talked, would be mitigation projects. So the city did submit for a notice of interest for a couple mitigation projects, basically for flood walls at this point. And we'll see what the funding or if they even approve anything. But that's on the grant side. But the expenses, yes, we're still working through that process. And we will get back some, but I don't have an exact amount yet. Within the next couple of weeks, he said he should be completed.
By year end, hopefully. And then can and would the state help us in any fashion with that shortfall that FEMA's not coming through? Is that something that's also being pursued for the flood-related stuff, if there's any state funds that are going to help with our...
So the state will only fund what FEMA funds. So if you have in a loss of $1,000 and FEMA says they're only going to pay a recognized $500 of that loss, then the state, the FEMA would usually pay $75.25, depending on what categories you're in. So most of the stuff like emergency protective measures, that's all 100% reimbursed if it gets recognized. But anything that's a cost share is usually 75.25 or 12.5%. So it just all depends on which project and what you're looking at.
Last accommodation appreciation with whatever the city's role was with the county and some of the abatement and the credit processes that were involved. Thank you to the council and the city offices for their role, whatever that was. But
yeah, the county assessor found that availability, from what I recall.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else like to address the council on the budget issue? Resolutions? Okay.
I will
move on to two there.
Make a motion to approve resolution 2024-R-050, approving the 2025 budget as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Three, the resolution 2024-R-051 approving the 2025 levy.
I'll make a motion that we approve that resolution.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, old business number 5A, the tree abatement. We got some additional information on that.
You want me to take this?
Please.
Just today, late today, the property owner presented to Teresa the information that you have in front of you here tonight. Property owner essentially says that she will have to work done this month. Evidently, December 12th is the date that tree service work is going to be done. It's my understanding that Frontier has moved the line, the electrical line, that posed some challenges. And she is in a position now to get this done. Whether it will actually happen, I guess, remains to be seen. What I would recommend to you guys is that you delay this for delay any enforcement action for another month and give her additional time in which to get it completed. If it isn't completed in January, it's going to be my recommendation that we proceed forward with an enforcement action. And what that enforcement action would look like, it's essentially a nuisance property action. It's a misdemeanor criminal offense. It would be filed in district court. And typically what happens in those kind of cases is the judge then issues an order that the offending condition be remediated. And if it's not remediated, then there are some consequences that a judge can impose to compel compliance. So at this point in time, it would be on her liability and it would be on her nickel. So I would encourage you to give her another month, and I know that we've been discussing this every month since the spring, but I think it's better that she does it as opposed to the city. So I would encourage you to give her another month.
Thank you. I have seen some progress over there, and this spells it all pretty clear. I don't have any problem with adding time to that.
Well, as long as there's progress.
I don't think we even need to do a motion. Just
gonna you really don't. You really don't. It's more of an update. At this time, I won't go forward with a nuisance property action. I will say that if we have to do that, I think the judge will be impressed by the amount of time and effort that you guys have allotted for this to get completed. So I'm hopeful that when we next meet in January, this issue is done.
Do you not have to set a date that you're giving her that length of time?
By next city council meeting.
Okay.
And that would be...
Do we need a motion for that?
I really don't. Okay. I mean, as your city attorney, I'm empowered to proceed forward with a nuisance property action, whether you authorize me or not.
Okay.
But the next city council meeting would be January 7th.
7th, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll reach out to the property owner. I'll let her know that she has till now, between now and then, to get this done.
Thank you.
Unless someone has an objection.
Mm-mm.
You guys comfortable with that?
Yes.
All yes. Right.
Thank you. That's what we'll do.
Thank you.
So now we're just down to citizen time.
All right. Open it up for citizen time. Anybody like to address the council? All right. New business. A resolution 2024-R-052 establishing polling place.
This is a yearly thing, right, Tracy?
Yeah, this is required each year to establish a polling place in case you should have an election the following year.
And that wouldn't change. It would be years. I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 2024-R-052.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, B, police commission recommendations.
Excuse me. Today, so the Police Civil Service Commission met and reviewed the idea of adding a fifth full-time officer that, in conjunction with the police department, mainly myself taking over the emergency management position. This will get us closer to our 24-hour coverage. It will add the emergency management need to have a full-time employee involved with emergency management as previously discussed by Teresa. We should really come in close to breaking even with this or thereby having a reduction. This will reduce our reliance on part-time. The fifth full-time hire was approved, as I said, by the Police Civil Service Commission. That person is already an employee of the city. They've been backgrounded. And really, the reliability of a full-time officer just adds to really the reliability of that person being available, as this is their full-time job. Ultimately, with the situation that we ended up going through during the flooding event, I feel that we're pretty much at a point that we at least realize that we need to have people that are available to be able to cover and fill said need. And then quite honestly, along with this, I'll throw it out there, I want to thank each and every one of you for what you guys did, including Teresa, City Hall staff, and let's not forget all the volunteers that were there to make this terrible incident actually better. The ideology of what we're doing is looking at building it back better, more reliability, and in all honesty, despite what you might hear on social media, this is going to give us the ability to have downrange views building towards the future. My idea is to actually cross-train more police department members. So should we have anybody go down, should we have anybody that's not around, we at least have a backup system instead of just having something dumped into our lap. I think it does, it prepares us for the future. It prepares us to take on those things that happen. There is no getting rid of people that are on the emergency management team. We're actually looking to expand that because we saw how short we actually were. And just to echo the idea, despite what you might hear on social media, there is no ideology or thought process of just firing people because of this hire. We are going to try to utilize those things that can put us in the best possible situation, budget-wise and for the city.
Can I throw some numbers at you?
So, hold on. Teresa is the budget person.
It's not hard.
You want to see me take my boots off here? I'm going to keep my toes. But go ahead.
All right. If you took 24 hours a day times 31, that's 744 hours a month. Okay. If you take that 744 divided by the 173.33, that comes out to 4.2 people. That's not considering having the SRO on duty. So that extra 8/10 of a person would probably be the additional hire, so you'd have five. You're going to have five people. But my question was, too, you could, if you went to shifts at 5/8 a week, wouldn't that more be more beneficial that you would have 24-hour coverage? You'd eliminate overtime. You'd eliminate on-call time. You'd that would decrease it even more of a savings. Because you're going to have five people to fill in those shifts if you can get somebody to figure out a schedule that way. And when you were talking about a full-time person as far as the emergency management, I know you want to do all the
full-time
training.
Full-time employee.
Yeah. the city. You would be the full-time employee in charge of emergency management with a stipend that you get additional for doing that job for month, for hour, right?
Well, I don't know. That hasn't been discussed yet.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be. But it's not going to increase the emergency management budget by a lot if you have to do all this other training and that kind of things. Is what I'm trying. You know, you don't want to increase one budget by, you know, savings on the other. You know, you don't want to go overboard on that either.
No, I get what you're saying, but on the same token, we have a loss of staffing that ended up occurring, and with the new people that are coming in the additional trainings, we're going to have to do those things.
Yeah, you're going to have training, I understand.
Right, and let's not forget there's other trainings that, I mean, despite just your core curriculum of emergency management, there's also some medical training that these folks are going to need and other things like this. Let alone with the people that are not involved. I mean, we're going to have to teach radio etiquette and a lot of things with that. So
what would that increase then? I mean, how big of an increase are you thinking that's going to cost?
So again, what I'm looking at is the idea of trying to do these trainings that are scheduled, where it's not an overtime for a full-time position, but we're going to have to train these people to be up to speed. As I'm sure you're aware, you were here for a lion's share, Jennifer, of all the stuff that went on.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure you're going
to... I understand the training's going to be there. I'm just trying to say, you know, you don't want to... We know that it's going to be... That you're going to save money. You're going to only have like 120 hours that's figured into the budget for the part-time. So you're going to utilize the five officers to the best extent of the schedule can work, you know, like...
Correct.
And then, but like if you could get into the 24-hour, then you eliminate a lot of excess.
Yes, that's exactly what we're
going
to
attempt to do. You know, so if you could work that in.
You know, and I mean, let's be very clear. I mean, you know, as a city, as a police department, we can't dictate... what people choose to do that causes a response by police. We can't dictate whether or not we are going to have another disaster that comes up. I don't like using that term, but I mean, seriously, that's the worst flooding I believe the city's ever seen. And to a discussion that Teresa and I had, just from some of the trending, and for those folks that have been here, unfortunately, this stuff keeps reoccurring.
Yeah, we don't want to see that.
If you could do something with the weatherman to divert this stuff, we might be better off. You know, and like we're trying to do things, hopefully, for flood mitigation, for things to take care of some of the lift stations that we have that became very problematic. I don't ever want to have to go through starting at 5 o'clock in the morning and taking somebody off a lift station at 2 o'clock in the morning for how many days that we were here. I mean, let alone the meat grinder that I was thrust into and I put the police department through. Cause effect. The reality is, I mean, thanks to you folks, and as I said, the volunteers and everybody else that was involved, we came out the other side. And despite what we had happen, I am very proud, not of the situation, to be very clear, not of the situation, but the way that this community came together, the way that these volunteers had this, we're not going to quit. We're not going to die. We're going to keep pushing. And the reality is that these people, all of us, all of the people, this isn't about me. This is about all the people that were involved. It wasn't over until it was over.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had those people that came from other communities that were flooding, let alone people from across the country that showed up to help. And let's not forget about the volunteers that ended up coming. You know, this is something that we need to build for to the future so that we can ensure that our citizens have some realm of ability to count on what we did last time to happen again.
Right.
So thank you.
I got one more question. What, you know, what happens in the summertime when the SRO isn't on duty?
Well, as you're aware, we do have, I mean, people have sick time, people have vacation time, okay. People, you know, when we're going to try to use those things to cover those.
Yeah.
And schedule that in.
Because I know you guarantee that you're supposed to get the 173.3 or 4 hours in, but I mean, you won't have to just double up an officer to get their hours in, right? You're not going to try to do that.
Well, that again, we have a lot of things that are going to end up happening with trying to get emergency management and everything else up and running. We're also building towards the future, looking downrange. And to be very clear, I have a shelf life. I could have left, retired a number of years ago, and we're preparing for the future. I think much of the things that we look for as a city is a long-range plan and getting out in front of things. With that being said, I think this is moving us closer to those long-range gains. So we're paying for something now, hopefully at a cheaper rate than you are at that time. And to be very clear, this is not me saying I'm leaving in 5 minutes or anything like that. Well, it depends how many more questions Jennifer's got. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, seriously. All joking aside, you know, this is something that we really haven't done much, is preparing for the future and paving those paths to be prepared. You know, I don't think anybody wants to go through something like this again. We want to be ready.
Just to be clear on that, the employee, we don't have a full-time employee on emergency management. We have a full-time employee that is
working in two departments.
Working in two departments.
Correct.
So emergency management does not have a full-time employee's wages and package attached to emergency management.
Yes, if I misspoke. And the plan, yeah, no, thank you. Now you're laughing at me. No, well taken. No, but in all honesty, I'm looking to have some of those other folks that are going to be involved also being up to speed. So we're going to have multiple people trained and ready to go.
I was told a lot of the training could involve just computer training.
To tell you the truth, the last time I looked at FEMA's stuff and talking to somebody from HSEM, Homeland Security Emergency Management, I believe they're actually revamping that system. So I can't actually comment at this moment. I haven't looked at it for a while because my belief was it was coming out, or at least when I spoke to them, February, March, something like that. I believe for the full, well, that's off the old system. I know that there's a number of classes, but there's also some that are a requirement for in-person, and we'll go with what's needed. Recommended. So we're prepared next time.
You intend to train everybody at the same time or just in stages?
Well, if it's virtual, they can pick up their classes. We don't have to sit together to do that. But in person, my understanding, and again, this isn't out yet, should they have recorded versions of that, there would have obviously be a cost savings for that, but sometimes you have or are required, much like we just got done talking about seven and a half years to train in somebody for water treatment. I mean, it's going to take time. You know, and I mean, there's lots of things that are involved in this, from storm spotting to, I mean, it just keeps going.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. So needless to say, the candidate has already went through the Police Civil Service Commission. Just one comment that was made when we were initially interviewed. The Police Civil Service Commission said that he was very, they were a very good candidate, and in all honesty, hope to see this person at, now this is back on their first interview, would like to see that person actually be full-time, so we have good recommendations going back to that time frame on this individual. So what I request is, moving forward with this, you've already heard the financial aspect of this, I am requesting that the candidate come on as the fifth full-time hire, and at their applicable rate, which I believe to be the 2 to 3 year step in the union contract due to their previous experience levels.
So if this is approval, do they come on immediately?
No, this is for the 2025 year budget. Obviously, I can't give you a date off the top of my head because I don't know whether the candidate has a 30-day, a 5-day, a 15-day, but we're going to be moving forward after the first of the year, so we do not affect the 2024 budget.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Can we get a motion to...
I'll make a motion to approve the hiring of the candidate that was recommended by the Police Civil Service Commission to come in at the 2 to 3 year step.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Second on the list, the squad. New vehicle purchase.
Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to say our newest squad has like 85,000 miles on it. I believe I came last year with a request for a squad car. Our other one is in tough shape. As you will recall, leading up to the days, bullhead days, we were actually putting the transmission in one squad. We've done various things with that. What you'll see in front of you is actually the first page for a squad car that was, to be clear, it is a Chevrolet, what are they calling it? Basically, it's Chevrolet's pickup.
Silverado.
Silverado, yeah, but there's a cop name for it. Oh. Police. Yeah, it's their pursuit model or whatever it is. With that, you have a range that's going to be roughly between 55,200 and, I'd say 57, because there's some packages that come with this that are problematic with, say, putting push bumpers or lights on the front. It'll cause problems with sensors and stuff like that. And as you're all aware, you know, our street department, our sewer department have all made the move towards the Chevrolet, so I'm sticking with that. You can see that the grand total price on that vehicle would have been $61,109, roughly, give or take. With the state bid pricing off the build sheet, that takes it down roughly $5,900. So, once again, we're talking about state bid pricing. And my inquiry, we're within about $200 of that price to go through Mankato. I did have one other place checked, and it's state bid pricing. So we'll be ordering directly through the dealership and not going through the state. Because believe it or not, there has been some things that have shown up much like the city had an issue with, I think it was the street department's truck. This way we're dealing straight with the dealership and not some other entity that ended up having an issue. So this is for the pickup and the pickup alone. Why a pickup? Okay. Ultimately, when we use some of the vehicles that we have, we're purchasing them, we're not leasing them. Ultimately, the idea is we'll have something that can potentially be used by other departments afterwards, let alone should we need a vehicle to get around, here is one more. I think we found out fairly quickly that we ran out of usable vehicles during the flood. So once again, this is one more thing that we're looking at going forward. Some of the equipment, okay, as far as that goes, that's a separate topic. With this, in contacting one of, the person that we've went through, the company that we've went through for doing the wiring and everything else, this vehicle's new, and obviously we're going to have to see with, you know, there's a catch-up time for the builders that are going to make cages and everything else for this. You know, yeah, we are planning on putting a cover on the top. That's an additional thing. This is all stuff that we've talked about, much like with the fifth officer that was talked about during the budget session that we had in September, August, whatever that was. So we're going to try to get this done within that price range on the pickup itself.
You don't have an estimate on the cost of the extras that have to be added to this?
Well, again, like I just said, you know, there's a lot of that stuff that is not yet available for some of the pricing. You know, that'll be coming out. We budgeted, around $35,000 for anything that was additional. And you may ask, well, why aren't we retrofitting stuff? Well, in all honesty, when you start looking at from one vehicle type, like an SUV, to another one, that's where we're at. I am very hopeful that we're going to come in dramatically lower, but again, we're at the whim. I don't know what's going to happen with tariffs. I don't know what's going to happen with things that are made overseas. So hopefully we can get at least a push forward on the vehicle itself.
What do you do with your other vehicles then?
Well, in all honesty, when you look at the other emergency management vehicle, that light blue one that we have, that vehicle, right now I want to say that came from the fire department. They got it through Department of Agriculture, Department of Forestry, something like that. So needless to say, what we've done in the past, one of them went to the street department. And what I'm thinking is, at a minimum, what we should do is try to keep that one intact to a degree to use for emergency management. Obviously, we're going to need stickers on that at a minimum. I mean, when you look at the new squad car, we have the stickers are coming off that already. So to answer your question, my hope would be that that goes into use for emergency management, or should city personnel need it for transport, you know, whether they're going to trainings or whatnot, we can find multiple uses. And we're going to try to use what equipment we can so that we can come under budget. That's...
Teresa, what do we have allocated for that?
So we have, as far as a designated fund, I have $84,253.
You think you can stay within that?
I'm going to try my damnedest. But again, I can't dictate, you know, what, you know, minimum equipment's going to be. I mean, if you want to cut costs and I don't mean you, I mean as a group. I mean, if we want to try just making stuff cheap, but unfortunately we found in the past that things that are cheap, end up costing you more money in the long run.
And retrofitting usually doesn't work out so well because you're trying to make brackets for things that don't work, and then you got the man hours in making those brackets at $60 to $100 an hour per machinist.
I think we just have to look at the fact that we need a new squad. Yeah. We don't know the final price, but it's going to be close.
Well, and just so you're aware of, I have talked to our upfitter, and apparently with some of these vehicles, to the degree that they are, if you try to put a split cage in the back of these, I heard one horror story where it took them 2.5 days just to get that put in. Now, I don't know what the scoop was, whether they had the parts they needed or not, but that's just one story. But I can tell you the people that we use right now, we had very, very little problems. They showed up at the PD to take care of any issues. And the equipment itself within the squad has been very dependable.
I think we're coming out ahead on this deal, and we're kind of where we want to be, because we're already going to hand down your old vehicle to emergency management, which is going to be helpful. And hopefully...
The black one? You're talking the black one or the white one?
The oldest one.
The oldest one.
And then hopefully...
Really falling off of it? Really falling off of it?
This is just setting everyone up better for the future, because when he's done with that vehicle, we're going to have a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And then when our street department is asking for a truck similar to what they currently drive, which is one of the old two-wheel drives, we'll have something. And hopefully we can pass that down.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a four-wheel drive vehicle.
That's significantly better.
And, I mean, with this, we're also going to look at the ability to run. It comes equipped, I believe, with the power to the back. So should we need to run power on the site, we're looking at upfitting to be able to accommodate better equipment, maybe unseen on site.
Well, if there's no more, I will make a motion that we approve the squad vehicle purchase.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate all your hard work that we went through during that flood. And while I still have the floor for 3 seconds, I also want to thank Jennifer Grove for everything that she's done over the years. It's greatly appreciated.
All the questions?
So again, no, honest to God, thank you for everything you've done with your service, Jennifer. Thanks. It's greatly appreciated.
Okay, move on to C, resolution 2024R-053, bad debt expenses.
It sounds bad.
So, this is the way that we have to write off expected revenues. So I needed to do a resolution to write off the $660.89. You have further information in your packets as to the reason why that needed to be written off.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve resolution 2024R-053.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, D is the personnel committee appointments, and there's a vacancy on the spot that I would like to fill for the HR committee.
So just a little background on that. When Roy resigned his council position, that left that vacancy, and we just didn't appoint anybody yet. We do have union negotiations coming up, so I'd like to have that filled before January.
So my understanding is you're going to fill that spot?
I am going to fill that spot, correct. Okay. That is the plan.
I would make a motion that we approve that personnel committee appointment.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. E, special meeting request to meet with SWIFT funding applicants December 9th at 4:45.
And that's flood.
So, yeah, so when we did our notice of interest, there's two funding pools. One is SWIFT funding, in which if they have repetitive loss, they qualify for a higher amount of funding. When the notice of interest were put in, there's a couple properties that we've been invited to submit applications for, but they could receive funding in two different areas. So acquisition would be one, elevation would be the other. So the council needs to chat with the residents and decide what funding mechanism we want to apply for them. And if the council wants to do buyouts or not. I mean, that's will be part of this whole discussion, but we'd like to have the discussion with those individuals so that we can get it ironed out. I only have until the 13th to put in a formal application. So we could do it either that Monday or Friday if it works for you also. Monday was just the date that I had picked. I think Friday would work also if it does for you. I would just have to post tonight already.
I will say that the 9th is the better of the two. I'm actually working on the Friday before it was proposed. So I'd like to see the 9th, but again, I don't have to be here for all of them.
Jason, is that going to work for you then?
Yeah, we can make it work. The 9th at 4:45 would work.
Okay.
And do we need a motion on that? Or
you do.
Yes.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we have that special meeting on December 9th at 4:45 with SWIFT funding applicants.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks, John. Move on to reports. Jason Moran, interested in...
I honestly don't have anything for you here tonight, as opposed to last month. This month has been very manageable, so unless you all have any questions for me. Nice, quiet, manageable month.
It's nice you kept things under the radar.
I'm sure January will be different. It's always a little calmer and smoother during the holidays. So.
Well, all right, then.
And I, too, am going to miss you, Jen. Thank you for everything that you have done. It's been a real pleasure to work with you over the past couple of years. I'm personally going to miss you.
Thanks.
You did a good job, and you brought a lot of good common sense to the council. I don't have anything. If anyone has any questions, I'll entertain them.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
You bet.
Jason Femright.
Yeah, so the last meeting I obviously was not able to be here, but I believe you had the structural engineer here, so if there's any other questions, comments from that, I heard he gave you guys a presentation and that was acceptable to you, or you got the information you needed?
He did well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, if there's anything else, I guess let me know on that. Otherwise, working with the architect on the fire hall, so we're doing the civil site components of that, and so following their schedule on that here, that's moving forward now. Looks like full speed ahead, so we're working on their team on behalf of the city. So.
Super. Anybody have any questions for Jason?
Mm-hmm.
I just have one. It's probably totally irrelevant.
Nope.
But in the fire hall, have they thought about geothermal heat and cooling?
That would be an architect question.
Okay.
Anything outside the building would be me.
Okay.
Inside the building would be the architect in this instance. So.
Okay.
Actually, we did look at different options, and that's a very expensive option. The return on investment is just not there.
Okay, we did one when we did the building in Madison Lake, and it saves us about $1,100 a year, and they figure they've already saved what they put in when they built it 11 years ago. Hmm. But prices, everything goes up.
We can certainly
bounce
it past them again.
Something
to have our next meeting.
Something to ask. Yeah.
All right. And I want to thank Jennifer as well. You've been here a long time. It's been fun to work with you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right. Cedar. Excuse me. Our administrator's report. Excuse me.
And I have the laundry list. Sorry.
Had to be someone.
Yeah. First, I'm going to start off. Commissioner Chrysler was not able to make it. He did send me a couple notes. In the county's budget, they are dedicating $50,000 for water storage projects in their budget, which is good news for a start that we're looking at moving forward and trying to stop some of the water from coming our way anyway. They have their levy meeting tonight, and he said they think they're going to end up at a 3.9% increase after tonight's meeting. Also, the county engineer, Dave Teagues, reached out to me, and our last meeting we had some discussion about the 6th Street Bridge. There is some funding opportunities out there that he will pursue on behalf of the city. In which we could get that bridge actually replaced with the hydraulic capacity that we need. And would not be funded until probably 2029. The projected cost to the city, we would have to pay the first $10,000 of the roadway cost improvements and the first $10,000 of engineering, so we could have that bridge replaced for $20,000, which
Excellent.
Is a super, super good deal.
You can't even get the plaque mounted on the bridge for $20,000.
Right. And this was a program that was only for cities under 5,000 populations. So he's going to be working on that. We did have a meeting with the representative of the federal EDA. We're looking at some projects that could help with the flooding and then also give us a bonus of some economic development enhancements. We have a committee that's kind of been working through that. There's the county and the city, and we had some representatives there. We took them out on a bus tour and kind of showed them our problem areas. We talked to them about FEMA's position of always wanting to buy properties out, and that's not always the best fit for communities. And then we discussed lightly the proposal that Bolton Mink just wrapped together for us quickly to look at what we could even do for what I would call a community flood mitigation project for the lagoon area. And just kind of hit a couple of those items as far as what we've been looking at, what we're talking about. We're going to do a couple follow-up meetings just to see where that will go. Region 9 is facilitating a lot of that for us and just coordinating all of that for us. So that's been very, very helpful to be with them. We already talked about the buyouts. Our preliminary audit starts tomorrow. So we'll be a little busy the next couple days again.
Didn't you just finish audit?
We just go in a circle. But anyway, as I spoke earlier, too, we're still working through the FEMA reimbursement process. in the next couple of weeks. Our rep feels that he will have all of the comments and stuff back from the review that would be able to get submitted and start getting the money channeled back to us. And that would be it.
That wasn't that bad.
That was a short laundry. That was a short laundry list.
Thank you very much. All right. Number 9, council discussion. I'd just like to start by saying thank you very much to Jennifer Grob.
It's Jennifer night.
Thank you for all you've done for the council and the city, and
that's okay.
We're gonna miss you.
You've earned the accolades.
I'll be sitting there watching.
I want to repeat what I said earlier: is yes, you ask a lot of questions, but you ask some real good questions that I'll tell you I don't always think of.
Thanks.
No, thank you. To Jennifer, welcome to the new council members, both Scott and Sarah. I think we'll have a good year. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, but
it'd be nice to have 5 again. So.
Yes. Yep.
Anybody got anything else?
I was just going to make a comment. It's a positive one for us, but I do have a lot of friends on city councils and other nearby towns and people that I know that are, you know, administrators and stuff. And believe me, every town is going through the same stuff as us with budget. No one's happy. You know, people are, you know, complaining and trying to cut corners. And it's, unfortunately, it's the reality of the way things are, which, I mean, don't have to like it, but it's the way things are. So I think we're not out of line on the things that we're asking and proposing, and I really like us being proactive and looking ahead. I like that on a number of the things that we've done recently. So just wanted to say thanks, and that we're doing well, I think.
Thank you.
I just want to say thanks to you guys too for all the compliments and everything. So.
I'm sure you'll be here to heckle us.
only Manning, right? Heckle Manning.
With that being said, I'd like to motion for an adjournment and wish everybody a happy end of the year. See you in January.
No, in December. We still have another meeting.
We still have a short meeting, yes.
Yeah, a short meeting. But anyway, I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.